Good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God in our Bible study. Thank you for taking the time to participate in this series of Bible studies with us. I am just thankful to the Lord for all the instructions and all the revelations. And I think more than anything, the ability that the Lord has given to us to be able to draw closer to the Holy Spirit, just learning about Him and talking about Him. You know, the more we talk about someone or the more we talk about something, the closer we get to that someone, to that person, and the closer we get to that thing that we keep talking about. You know, if you start talking about food, and good food, the kind of good food that you enjoy, that you really like, it won't be long before you start getting hungry. And that hunger will make you gravitate towards good food. You go look for that good food. And I don't mean to make light of this, but the more we focus on the Holy Spirit, and the more we talk about Him, the greater our hunger for Him will be. And we'll find ourselves beginning to gravitate towards Him. We'll find ourselves beginning to yearn more for Him, to develop this close relationship with Him. So I thank you again for joining us tonight. Wherever you are joining us from and on whatever platform, I trust that the Lord will minister again to each and every one of us tonight. In Jesus' name, let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we have come before you again tonight. You've given us another precious opportunity to be able to come together to talk about the Holy Spirit, to learn to draw closer to Him, to give Him His place in our lives. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters and everyone that is partaking of this service tonight. I pray your blessings upon each of them and upon their families. I pray, Father God, that you cause the light of your revelation, the power of your word, to be poured out mightily upon each and every one of us in this service. Let our lives never be the same again. Help us to have another powerful, unique experience and encounter with the Holy Spirit. I give you praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory, 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 glory be to God. We closed out last week in John chapter 16. Well, two verses we read in John chapter 16. The first one was verse 7, where the Lord said in the Amplified, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable and advantageous for you that I go away, because when I go away, then I will send the Holy Spirit to be in close fellowship with you." Oh, glory to God. That's our purpose for all of these studies and all of these lessons, is because we want to be in close fellowship with Him. It's because we want to know Him more. We want to walk closely with Him. Amen. And then we closed out in verse 15. And I gave you my expanded version of that verse of scripture. Everything that the Father has for you, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, everything, John chapter 16, verse 15, the Amplified version, but this is my expanded version from the Amplified. Everything that the Father has for you is mine to give to you. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Holy Spirit, will take the things that are mine, that I plan to give to you, and He will reveal them, declare them, disclose them, release them, and transmit all of it to you directly. The Holy Spirit is the agent, is the one who takes the things that the Father has for us and gets it to the believers. These things, that's why we call it everything Holy Spirit. I gave you a short list last week: wisdom, opportunities for life, direction, healing and health, abundant life, material provisions, victory, deliverance, peace, protection, restoration. In fact, we close that in John 16:33. In the Amplified version, we read, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's part of everything that the Father has for us, that He's given to us first through Jesus, and Jesus gave everything to the Holy Spirit to transmit to us. Amen. Amen. So this victory, this peace, His ability to conquer the world, hallelujah, the glory of winning our battles in life, they are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are transmitted to us, revealed and transmitted directly to us by the Holy Spirit. Bible says in 1 John 4:4, we've preached about this for a little bit on our pulpit in Abundant Life. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, it says the Spirit that we have received is greater. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And He says we have overcome them. We have conquered them. Who? The world. The Spirit in the world. Everything that is responsible for all the tribulation and all the trials and all the pain and all the trouble in the world, we have overcome them because the greater one, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say, I am more than a conqueror because of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! That is so exciting. That's an exciting start. Now, tonight, we're going to try to run through some of the other things that the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit. And some of it might spill over into one or two other books. If I can get to it, if our time allows us, we've been doing our best to keep this as short as possible. I think last week we went slightly beyond 45 minutes, but I don't want to extend it like that. I want to trust God to keep it max of between 40 and 45 minutes. Again, I've explained this shorter will be more profitable for us, so that we can take everything that the Lord ministers to us and in our own private place, and we can go delve into those things. And some of it could even be after we close out the service. When we get off the air and we stop the stream and you're still there in the zone, you can open your Bibles, get your concordance, and dig more into the Word of God. Take another 20, 30 minutes to study before you wrap it up. So I'm going to trust God to help us do that tonight. A few more important things that the Lord Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 4, verse 13 to 24, of course, I can't read the whole thing. But in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ told us God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Meaning, the Holy Spirit Himself aids our worship of God. And if the Holy Spirit is not an active participant in our worship, it's just a ritual. It's just religious exercise. It's not even rising before the Lord. Amen. But let's read that. In John chapter 4, I'm going to read maybe just two to three or four verses here. John chapter 4, let's start from verse 13. You know, He's ministering to that woman at the well. And Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That water within the believer that God gives to us is the well of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, is the living water of God. We'll see that tonight as well. Then you jump all the way there to verse 21. Jesus said unto this woman, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23 and 24 is where I want us to focus on tonight. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Look at verse 24. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit who is around us, who is inside us, is God. That's God. God is a spirit. He's our helper. He's been sent to aid us in everything that we were created to do. Everything we were saved to do. Let's read that verse 24 from the Amplified. It says, God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, which is reality. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, which is reality. Listen to this. God is spirit, and true acceptable worship of our Heavenly Father is only possible through the participation of the Holy Spirit. Truly. I mean, the most fundamental thing that we are created to do, to worship our Father, is not even possible without the active participation of the Holy Spirit. In order for our worship to be acceptable and pleasing to the Father, number one, we must worship God in spirit, that is yielded to and directed by the Holy Spirit. We must worship God in the Spirit, yielded to and directed by the Holy Spirit. And number two, we must worship God in sincerity and reality, not by a mechanical form or religiously. So our worship of God the Father, because he is a spiritual being, is enhanced by the active work and participation of the Holy Spirit. Worship to the Father that's acceptable and pleasing is not possible without the participation of the Holy Spirit. When we come to worship, the Holy Spirit must be participating in it with us. That is, we must be yielding to him. We must be open to him. We must be, now, you know, there is, all of us had our starting point when we didn't even know what we were doing. It was all new to us. We came into Christ and we're learning the ABCs of spiritual things and all of that. Yes, at that time, yes, because we didn't have the light and we didn't know the word. And what we did was from our heart, and the Lord accepted it. But the time came as we continue to grow, the Holy Spirit begins to come in to try to take his place in our lives. Amen? And at that time then, worship is no longer acceptable without the participation of the Holy Spirit. We just can't keep ignoring him. So we're just worshiping the Father. We don't really know. The Holy Spirit has to actively participate in our worship. Somebody say amen. So in order for our worship to be acceptable to the Father and pleasing to him, remember these two things again. Number one, we must worship God in spirit, yielded to and directed by the Holy Spirit. It may be a song. It may be praying. It may be just falling on our face and worshiping. But we must be yielded in those moments, in those times. We must be yielded and directed by the Holy Spirit. And then it has to be in sincerity. Amen. Sincerity and sincerity of our hearts. Sincerity and reality. Not a mechanical form or just practicing religion. Amen. God is a spirit. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the Holy Spirit. God the Father is a spirit. And he's right here with us by the Holy Spirit. He's around us. He is within us. Can somebody say amen? Let's look at another one here. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. Jesus taught us that. He said the Holy Spirit is the life giver. Oh, actually, no. Let's do the rivers of living water first. I love that because we just finished talking about the well. Jesus said, the water that I'll give to your sin, to that Samaritan woman, will be within you a well. But the Holy Spirit is not just a well. It may start out as like a well of water within a believer, but it really becomes rivers of living water. Amen. Like the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 7, the rivers of living water flow from the Holy Spirit within the believer. Let's read that in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. I'm sure most of us know this scripture. Let's read it first from the King James, and then let's read it in the Amplified. John chapter 7, from verse 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Let's read the Amplified. He said in verse 37, "Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to me, trusts in me, relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water.'" Verse 39, he says, "But he was speaking here of the Spirit, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterward to receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised to honor." Well, guess what, saints? The Holy Spirit has now been given. The Holy Spirit has now been given. At the time when the Lord was talking about this, he had not yet been given. But now the Holy Spirit has been given. And he says he will flow like rivers, springs and rivers of living water outside from the innermost being of every believer. The Holy Spirit is the river of God. He flows within the believer. The Holy Spirit is the one that squashes dryness. Hallelujah. Stamps out dryness completely from the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit is the bubbling of God within every Christian. You cannot be in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit and encounter depression. It is impossible. Saints, hear me. It is impossible. He is the river of God flowing and bubbling in the inside of every believer. We cannot be in close fellowship and close relationship with the Holy Spirit and ever suffer panic attacks. It is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible. Oh, glory to God. The rivers of living water. The rivers of living water. And for many of us, the rivers are just dammed up, seeking expression. But praise God. That's why the Lord has us around his word these several weeks, to make room for the rivers of God within us. The rivers of joy, rivers of grace, rivers of faith, rivers of power, rivers of prayer and supplication, rivers of prophecy, rivers of prosperity, rivers of revelation and knowledge, rivers of wisdom. These rivers are available to every believer. Say with me, make this confession of faith with me tonight. The rivers of God, the rivers of the Holy Spirit, they are flowing out of my innermost being, and there is no limit to the flow of the river of God, in Jesus' name. Say it again. The rivers of God, the rivers of the Holy Spirit, they are flowing endlessly from my innermost being. And there is no limit to the flow of the river of God in my life. Jesus said he's the river of God. He flows. He flows within every believer. Let's move on. Let's move on. He said the Holy Spirit is the life giver. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. The life of God cannot be transmitted to a believer without the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, child of God. The Holy Spirit is the life giver, and there is no Zoe life of God anywhere without the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit is the life giver, and there is no Zoe life of God anywhere without the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's read John chapter 6 and verse 63. Let's read that from the King James as well as the Amplified together. John chapter 6 and verse 63. He said, the Lord is speaking. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, glory be to God. The flesh profits nothing. Oh, I love to see this in the Amplified. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let's read this in the Amplified. He said, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. He is the life giver. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. We learned in one of our recent studies, the Holy Spirit is our advantage. The flesh has zero profit. That's why the Bible says, they that sow to the flesh, they are going to reap corruption. Right? And in one scripture there, he says, I think in Galatians 5, he says, the flesh is always warring against the Spirit. And we read already in John chapter 3, I think that was verse 6, when Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's no crossing of the lines. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if we invest continually in the flesh, we will reap zero corruption. The Bible says we will reap corruption. Those things we do, coming up with ideas and thoughts from our mind that are really just sowing to the flesh. Just doing things that our natural impulses are asking us to do in order to gain some advantage. They don't give us any advantage. In fact, they put us in harm's way. He said the flesh has zero benefit. It conveys no benefit. But you are born of the Spirit. Yes, all of us were born in the flesh. But when we came into Christ, we became born of the Spirit, and then we put the flesh in its place. You are born of the Spirit. Say with me, I'm born of the Spirit. Therefore, I have divine advantage. Say it again. I'm born of the Spirit. Therefore, I have divine advantage. Listen to it. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There is no profit in it. The words, the truths that I have been speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. Ooh, ooh, glory to God. Remember, it's called the Spirit of Truth. He said, the words, his word, the life of God is conveyed. Let me read this directly from my notes here so I don't miss anything. Ooh, I feel him so strong here tonight. I feel him every night, but it's strong, really strong tonight. Ooh. He said, the life that the Holy Spirit gives us is often transmitted to us through his logos and rhema words that are direct, that are communicated directly with our human spirit. I got to say that again. I got to read that again. The life that the Holy Spirit gives us, the believers, the life that the Holy Spirit gives us, believers, is often transmitted to us through His Logos. His Logos is the written word. And His Rhema, which is His empowered word directly to us. His revelatory word. He says, the life the Holy Spirit gives us is often transmitted to us through His Logos and Rhema words communicated directly with our human spirit. As you are hearing the word of God tonight, as you are hearing the word of God tonight, it may sound to you like, oh, you are just hearing words. No, you are hearing the Logos, you are hearing the Rhema, and the life of God is being transmitted to you directly, to your human spirit directly. Directly. Woo. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You remember when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came. It was words. Words that were encapsulated in the spirit. Well, I should say that the other way. Spiritual power that was encapsulated in words. That's why the Bible says the word of God is medicine. Do you know this, the life of the Holy Spirit that is transmitted to you and to me, to God's children, can cause the resurrection life and the resurrection power of God to be made manifest in your life, in your body. Do you know the word you are hearing tonight can create life, can bring resurrection power into your life? This is why it's so important. I got to read this to you directly from my notes. This is why it's so important. We can cooperate with the Holy Spirit to receive the life of God in our lives by speaking exactly what He's speaking over our lives, our bodies, and our situations. We can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You remember when He said, Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke the life of God in words. And Lazarus, who was dead, the life of God just hit him, boom. And a man who had been dead for 4 days came back to life. Walked out of the tomb. Remember that prophet? The Lord said, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel. And then He said, Lord, thou knowest. They said, no, you prophesy, speak to those bones. And when He started speaking to the dead bones, dry bones, started to get up. This is why that scripture in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Glory to God. He said, but if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By His Spirit. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Because the Holy Spirit is the life giver. Let's read this in the Amplified. He says, and the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and if you walk in close fellowship with Him, He who raised up Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If the life giver of God dwells in you, and He dwells in me, He dwells in you, many of us, Say that one who raised Jesus to life is the same Holy Spirit. He is the life giver who raised Jesus to life. Oh, saints, are you getting hungry? Are you getting thirsty for this river of life? Because just imagine how much life the Holy Spirit can inject into our physical bodies, into our situations. And when we cooperate with Him and we begin to put His words on our mouth, oh glory to God, these bodies have to respond to the life of God. This is why periodically, consistently, put your hands on your head in the name of Jesus. I receive the life of God is working in me. The life of God, the Zoe life of God is working. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit dwells inside of me and He's raising and He's quickening. He's giving life to my mortal body, giving life to my brain, to my mind, to my cells, my blood cells, to my heart, to my lungs, to my kidneys, to my limbs, to every part of me, my reproductive organs, my hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting excited tonight. It's supposed to be a teaching Bible study. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. The Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit of God, will quicken your mortal bodies. Will give life. Will give life to dead situations. Think that people think is dead, is hopeless. He will give life to them. He will bring life to them. Let's keep on moving. The Holy Spirit is the life giver, and there is no Zoe life of God anywhere without the active work of the Holy Spirit. So let's keep speaking what He's speaking. Let's speak the same things. Let's not, because we want to be in close fellowship. How can we be in close fellowship with someone and He's saying one thing but we are saying another? I don't know, forever, there are some believers that I have interacted with, and after a while, I stopped saying those things. You know, some of these have been for years. They'll say something, and you know, maybe counseling, they come into my office maybe for prayer at the altar, and maybe, you know, I mean, I start ministering to them, and they'll say something like, you know, my cancer, or they'll say my heart failure, my sick kidney, my asthma, my hypertension, my depression, they personalize all these things. My. Where, how can it be yours? My sickness, my broken legs, my arthritis, how can it be yours? And I know for some believers over the years, I tried, and they'll say, and I'll say, no, it's not yours. Don't confess that it's yours. And I find out, they go, the next time I see, they say it's mine again. It's mine. They keep mine. After a while, I just leave them. How can we be in close relationship with somebody, and that person is trying to speak life over you, but you are speaking death over yourself? You cannot be close. How are you going to be close? You cannot be close. Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Hallelujah. Whatsoever you desire. That's why He said you should speak. In 2 Corinthians 4, He said, we having the spirit of faith, as we have believed, therefore we speak also. We speak. If you have the spirit of faith, it doesn't mean you deny what's happening to you, but that the ongoing anthem of your life, what you are constantly and consistently speaking, should not be contrary to what God is speaking over you. Yes, maybe you feel pain, go get tested, get diagnosed, use medication. Yes, pain, yeah, I felt pain. And, you know, but what you constantly say is, I'm healed, I'm the healed of the Lord. You put your hand on your knee. The life of God. I speak the life of God. Bible says he renews your youth like the eagle. I'm getting carried there. Oh, my time will soon be up here. We're going to 45. Hallelujah. Are you getting something here? Are you sensing the Holy Spirit? You put your hands on your ankles in the name of Jesus. My ankles receive the life of God. Maybe there's pain. My elbow, my shoulder, in the name of Jesus. My mind, my eyes. Ah, my eyes receive the life of God. My tongue receive the life of God. My brain, my heart, my lungs, my kidneys receive the life of God. I speak the life of God over you. As you are going in the shower, maybe you feel a pain. So, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, get it tested. Get medication, whatever it is, you know, do what you receive medical if you that's what get it. But speak, let the ongoing anthem, consistent anthem from your lips. In the name of Jesus, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Ah, the life of God is working in me. The life of God, resurrection power, resurrection power. Every dead cell, every dead nerve ending, dead vessel, in the name of Jesus, you are back to life. I speak the life of God upon you. That's it. That's it. And the life-giving spirit will go to work. Let's move on here. Jesus also said, the Holy Spirit is my source of divine energy and power. The Holy Spirit is my source of divine energy and power. And Jesus said, he will come upon you like he came upon me, and he will do through your life exactly what he did through mine. It's part of what the Lord said in the Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit is my source of divine energy and power. You've read some of these scriptures in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me. Yeah. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. But in John 14, if you look there in John chapter 14, we've read this when we read about the Comforter, but just a few verses before the Lord started talking about the Comforter, where the Lord was talking about the great works that he did, how he was empowered to do the work of God in his generation, in his life. I want you to look at that there, because it has a direct connection with when he started talking about the Holy Spirit, he will send another Comforter. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, look at what is in verse 12 and 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, listen to that. I don't know if you've ever seen this. And the Holy Spirit was so gracious, he opened my eyes to this. My eyes popped open and I thought, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, watch this, and greater works than this shall he do. Why? He said, because I go unto my Father. Ah! That's verse 12. Then in verse 16, he said, I will pray my Father, and he will give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. So there's a connection. In verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that believes on the works that I do, shall he do also, because greater works than this, because shall he do, because I go to my Father. And then when he goes to his Father, what has he been telling us he will do when he goes? He said, I will ask my Father, and he will send you another Comforter, Elos Parakletos. He will send the Holy Spirit. And in one of the scriptures that we read in John 16, he said, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. You remember? Expedient for you, advantageous, profitable for you, that I go. Now here he's saying, you will do greater works because I go to my Father. Where when he goes to his Father, what happens next? He will ask his Father, and his Father will send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was the source of his empowerment, and the Holy Spirit will be the source of your empowerment. The Holy Spirit, hallelujah. I'm running out of time. Glory to God. Listen to the Holy Spirit, my source of divine energy and power, and he will come upon you like he came upon me and do through your life exactly what he did through mine. And you know, of course, he said that greater works than and then you know, towards the end of his life in John chapter 20, the Bible says he breathed upon them. Look at it. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23. Let's just read that directly from the Amplified. We don't have too much time. John chapter 20, from verse 21 to 23. Look at it. And Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, just as the Father has sent me forth, so I'm sending you. And having said this, verse 22, what did he do? He breathed on them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. Aha. Just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then after saying that, he said, he raised up his hand and he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the source, was the source of his divine energy and power. And he gave them, he gave these disciples the same source. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said something really powerful. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Peace be to you. Just as the Father sent me, so I send you. And having said this, he breathed upon them and said unto them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 23. Now, look at what he says there. I'm reading Amplified. Now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. Woo-hoo! Do you know, my brothers and sisters, there is a place we can attain unto. I can only see it afar. I don't even know that I've ever dreamt of it, of coming that close. But, oh, I long for it. Oh, we should all long for it. Do you know there is a place we can attain unto in our close relationship with the Holy Spirit where he gives us his authority and his ability? Jesus said, now, listen to that verse 23. Having said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 23, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him. When you receive the Holy Spirit and you are led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, there is a place. Okay, now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, there is a place we can arrive at in our close fellowship with the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit where he shares his authority and ability with us to remit or retain people's sinfulness or wrongdoings. Where we say, that's it, it's forgiven and it's forgiven. Where you say, and you know, it sounds so casual, but I'm even careful how I talk about it because it can be taken out of context. It's such a deep place of intimacy with the Holy Spirit that when we are fully led and fully directed by him, Jesus said, you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven you. You remit them, they are you retain them. And we actually see examples of it in the scriptures. Come into such close proximity. And I might start out from here next week because I'm out of time now, almost. I might start out from here. I might have us start out from here when we get going next week. I love that part of it. He said, having said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then verse 23 says, now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained. This is in red. The Lord said this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and he said it to human disciples, his disciples. He's not talking to the Lord. He's talking to people, human beings. And we see examples of this. In Acts chapter 5, you want to start studying this ahead of our next service, you can. So I might allude to it a little bit before I try to wrap up this whole studies in John, what the Lord said, to conclude this part, this segment of our studies in the Holy Spirit. And then we'll get on the second segment that would last a few weeks where we'll talk about a few other things about the Holy Spirit. But this is so deep and so foundational, so strong, so powerful. And if you want, you can go read it out in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 5, from verse 1 to 16. You remember Peter and Ananias and Sapphira? You remember that story? All of us know this story. You can go read it. Right there, Peter said to them, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit?" And as he was speaking, Ananias fell down. Same thing, his wife came in, Sapphira, fell down. I mean, he didn't even say God said or God, no. He just spoke, "Now you have lied," and that was it. That was not the only situation either. Remember in Acts chapter 8, there was a man called Simon who wanted to pay money for the Holy Spirit. And Peter told him, your money perish with you. And he just pronounced something just there. And the man started begging. And Peter didn't even respond, just went, just left. And I mean, this is not for negative. That's why I'm careful to talk about it. But I just want you to see the authority, the great grace that is available to believers in close proximity. When we walk in close fellowship and proximity with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, a lot of it is life-giving. It's life-giving. A lot of it is not judging and counseling and put people who will not be repentant, who will not receive conviction and judging them. That's not the bulk. The bulk of it is giving the life of God, just speaking and giving the life of God. But I wanted you to see those two. You remember Paul and this guy called Bar Jesus in Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 11. It's called Elymas the sorcerer. Remember how Paul just, and blindness, blind, he said, "You'll be struck with blindness." And just like that, he didn't even say, "I'm going to ask God." He said, "Just say, you are struck with blindness right now." And he was blind immediately. Let's close out tonight. We're at 47. Let's close out here. Holy Spirit, you are the life giver. Breathe upon us tonight. Would you pray with me, saints? Breathe upon my family. Breathe upon everyone that's connected. Breathe upon my situation. Breathe upon my body. Breathe upon me. I ask for the life of God, the resurrection power of Almighty God, to be released and transmitted into my life today, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are the river of God. Flow from within me. Rivers of living water. Rivers of joy. Rivers of grace. Rivers of wisdom. Rivers of prayer, supplication. Oh, remove every dryness. Remove, destroy every dryness. Oh, rivers of life. Rivers of Zoe life. Rivers of abundant life. Flow from within me. Holy Spirit, you are the source or divine energy and power. Move through my life. Help me walk in victory. Holy Spirit, you transmit the peace of God the Father to my life. I receive and I walk in your peace in every area of my life. I receive healing and health, rivers of healing and health, rivers of spiritual, divine provision, financial resources, rivers of revelation, knowledge and wisdom, rivers of glory and grace. I receive. Burnout is far from me. I receive everything you have for me, Holy Spirit. I receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You receive, saints. The Lord is breathing upon you tonight. I can sense that. The Lord is breathing upon you. Somebody is listening to this. God is breathing upon you. Your cells are coming to life. Jesus. You receive it. The life giver is breathing life upon you. Receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for joining us tonight, saints. Wow, what a glorious time we've had in the presence of God. I'm so excited. I can hardly help myself here. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. I look forward to seeing you next week, same time. God bless you. Good night.